Alpha Zulu Mobile monitoring.
EEE monitoring.
K4EEE Echo Echo Echo.
Oscar 4 Echo Echo Echo. Or oddly put, coffee. This is Jeff, mobile, outside Walhalla.
There, I hope you're doing well. I like that call sign, it's easy to remember. EEE. Some people might say that's the sound a dolphin makes. this is KK4LAZ, KK4LAZ, Jim here in downtown Simpsonville.
Now these radios, and once I got into ham, how far out people can be and still make stuff. Then again, we are running through a repeater, so all hail to the mighty repeater.
VHF, UHF stuff typically is a lot shorter range, but I tell you what, I play a lot on HF, a lot more on HF than I do on 2 meter 440, and you can, man, I tell you what, you can get anywhere in the world with that stuff. I did what's called Parks on the Air last Saturday and Sunday, and had people all across the United States, up into Canada. Didn't have anything DX across the ocean this past weekend, but I have before, so it's pretty wild.
Point I'll study to get my general and play a little bit more with HF, but for the time being, for lack of time and everything, 2 meters, 70 centimeters seems to be doing just fine for now.
Oh yeah, you can have a lot of fun on 2 and 440 for sure. I've I had a technician class for I think 6 years before I upgraded to general. It was 5 or 6 years, something like that. I still enjoy both a lot, especially some of the digital modes you can get into on VHF, UHF.
One of those Anytone 878s, the handheld with digital and analog on it. As much cane as I raised with, let's say it would be, Bridgecom? As much cane as I raised with them over that radio, it just sits in the, camper now and just
kind of
hangs out off.
Things about that Anytone, I don't have one of those myself. I've got a couple of other DMR radios just of various flavors, and I have a Yaesu radio that's got Yaesu Fusion on it, but I haven't played with the Anytone, but I've heard they're really, really good radios.
The interface on it, running with the laptop to program it, really is simple. And I'm not sure if that's because I understand PLC programming or what, but it is a really decent radio to set up. But I have yet to even check into a repeater with it, so not sure what magic I'm missing on that.
Definitely has gotten a lot better over the years, and especially the documentation has gotten better to where, you know, stuff like talk groups and things like that, color codes and all, becomes a little bit more common nomenclature in ham world. Back when DMR first came out or first kind of started gaining traction in the ham world, it was a little bit more difficult to find the information you wanted to find, but they've definitely made it a lot better. I really want to get into the Motorola stuff. The XPR series of radios and things like that. That stuff looks really nice. I've always liked, you know, commercial gear, but they'd want to charge you like $250, $300 just for the software on it. So that's what's kept me out of it so far.
The 878 from Bridgecom, not that I'm throwing an ad out, but they did kind of sell a radio that has their classes in it. Which, if you've never messed with programming a radio, I mean, those free classes, they cover some decent stuff, too. But, so far, my workhorse has been a Yaesu radio. I have a FT-60, and that little thing does a phenomenal job. I don't even mess with it. It came set up, so, outside of that, I'm not sure what any of the other guys bring to the table, Kenwood or the other guys.
A little bit of everybody. Right now I'm talking on a Kenwood D710, which is actually the first time I've used this radio in 4 or 5 years. I just installed it in my car I just bought. My primary vehicle has a Yaesu 400, STM 400, but I put this D710 over in this car, and I'm enjoying it again. I forgot how much I liked this little radio. It sounds really good. But yeah, I like Yaesu is probably my favorite. I've kind of always been a Yaesu guy. Probably followed by ICOM. Had a couple ICOM radios that I really liked, and then the Kenwood stuff. The biggest thing I have about Kenwood is that, you know, they haven't really updated a whole lot recently. They haven't really kind of jumped into the you know, the digital world. They haven't really, you know, updated their line in quite a while. So they've got some really good radios, like this 710 that I have. You know, it's still pretty much the same one they sell today. But I, you know, like I said, Yaesu is kind of my baby. I will say, though, that I'm probably going to be picking up a new HF rig here pretty soon. Something's got a little bit more features on it, and I'm really looking at that ICOM 7300 because that thing is packed with features.
That snagged me back into ham radio was when my dad passed. I got his 747 Yaesu, and I got to looking at it, and I'm like, I just need to learn. And I've yet to really turn it on because I don't want to break the only radio I got from Dad. But for an old radio, that thing's kind of neat. But I think if I were to go get an all, let's see, that'd be an all mode, all frequency rig, I like how the ICOM stuff looks. It looks very modern and well built.
Everybody's kind of going with the SDR, you know, the software-defined radios now, and ICOM really kind of pioneered that. And then you've got the Yaesu 991, which is kind of the other one that's on my list. But, I mean, really the biggest difference you get with it is it's got 2-meter 440 on it, which is nice to have, but I've got a ton of 2-meter 440 rigs already. And you also get Fusion with that radio as well for the 2-meter 440 side. But I don't know, man. Like I said, I've got two other radios that can do Fusion, and the ICOM is cheaper. I mean, the ICOM regularly goes on sale where you can buy it for less than $1,000. I think you can buy it for less than, or like right at $9.99 right now.
Back in the day, I never really understood why ham operators had so many antennas, and then as I started to explore into everything, it's like, oh, different antennas for different frequencies. Well, that makes sense, I guess.
And you can get away with multi-band antennas on HF, but typically they're going to be a little bit more compromised than if you're running a single-band antenna for, you know, whatever band you're trying to be on. I have I have a screwdriver for my car, but I've got what's called like a, I forget the technical term for it, but it's an adjustable coil-loaded antenna. So basically it's got like an 11-foot mast that you screw into the top of this thing that's called a coil. And essentially you adjust the collar up and down, and what that does is it essentially lengthens or shortens the antenna depending on what band you want to be on. And that's gotten me some really, really good performance. I mean, I got out, you know, this past weekend as far as Washington State, you know, as far as west, and I got all the way up into Quebec going north, so it works pretty well. I'm going to be short time here, KK4LAZ.
Well, I hate to cut it kind of short, but I've reached my destination. I'm back at the house. It's good talking to you, man. I definitely do need to get on the radio a bit more often. But for now, I'm catching what I can. Don't yell into the mic, son. I've got that going on. Well, you have a good evening, 73s. KO4EEE. I'll be clear on your final.
Care, have fun with those kiddos, and I'll talk to you again soon. KK4LAZ to KO4EEE and 73 to you, and I'm clear.
For RMM Hertz, Greenville, keep doing.
HF
HM, Station Collin. Your audio is very low. I can make a KO4, I believe, but that's about all I'm getting out of it. So.